Picture a world where costs are down, profits are up, and customers are clamoring at your door. You're listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. Our interviews with business owners, service providers, and area experts can teach you how to create a world of success and profitability. If you're looking for an attorney to assist in your business formation, employment agreements, or other legal business needs, contact Jordan Law at 407-906-5529. You can also reach us on the web at jordanlawfl.com. Jordan Law, we protect you and your business.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jordan Ostroff with Jordan Law, and this is Let's Get Up to Business, our podcast turned Facebook live show, where we talk to locals in Orlando and the surrounding Central Florida area about different things that can help business owners. Today, we're talking with Anjali Vaya, who's going to talk to us about some of the innovations coming up in digital marketing. And as those of you that know me know, I love nothing if not a good conversation about marketing. So I'm very happy that you were able to join us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jordan. It's a pleasure being on the show today.
So everybody needs help with marketing or better marketing or more cases or better cases or whatever it boils down to. So for people that want to stay in touch with you, what's the best place for them to get more information about you and your companies?
So we can go to the website iTouch Orlando, and we'll talk about what the company's main goal is. It is a digital kiosk that is seated in 120 hotels, and it gives you foot traffic from the hospitality industry. So my contact information is on there, and we do have an email address on there, and you can get in touch with me from there.
Perfect. So while Mark will drop that in the comments, tell everybody, for those people that don't know you, give us a little bit of a rundown of who is Anjali Vaya.
So I'm originally from Zambia, from Central Africa, and I came into the country in 1991, graduated from the University of Michigan. My heart and passion has always been in the technology sector. I did graduate in healthcare, and my first job was actually in a nursing home with the Henry Ford system. And I quickly realized that computers and programming was where my heart really was and my passion was. In the late 90s and 96, I had started working with a retail furniture store out in Kansas City, and I had built the very first e-commerce website in the country for furniture sales in 2001. It was called BeHome.com. This was a very far-fetched idea in the early 2000s because furniture was such a feel, sit. It was one of those areas where people just thought I was crazy when I came up with the idea that let's take this online. It was the dot-com era, and I said, why not? So it took us, back in the day with programming, it used to be a lot harder because everything was so custom. Right now you can have a lot of plugins that are pre-done for you. But back in the early 2000s, everything was handwritten. You were really, it was a cumbersome process. Imagine, a retail store with thousands of merchandise and taking pictures and getting it online. By 2002, we started delivering into New York and Chicago, and those were our biggest sectors. So I quickly, learned that, with a click of a finger, you can change so many things. And as business owners, we constantly have to be thinking about the future and where we're headed. So I give that as an example because e-commerce in 2000 was such a big thing, the whole dot-com and, the whole dot-com world. And then as we went into the middle, it started shifting. So I've done a lot of custom programming starting from, like I said, the e-commerce website to in Washington, D.C. and New York, we had created a full-blown interactive employee tracking system for the construction industry, which again, metrics were very different in 2003 and 2004. If you really think about it, Google Maps and things has come so much further than where we were in 2003 and 2004. A lot of these capabilities didn't exist. And again, we had handwritten and custom coded an entire system for the construction industry to be able to track its employees.
Yeah, I think it's interesting for everybody, everyone listening to this is taking for granted all the technological advances over the last 20 years. Like what you talk about, it is so easy to get those plugins to have, the Google Maps but back in that time, what was MapQuest was the big one, or are we?
Yes, it was MapQuest. And
actually print it out and bring it in the car with you.
That's correct. And I got into that sector once again because of the fact that, I was in the retail furniture business where delivery and tracking was so important. So we had gotten very familiar with the code of mapping software systems. And so, and one of the reasons that I bring this conversation up is that as a business owner, you really should be thinking of the next 5 years. You shouldn't be stuck of where you are today, because right after we finished that project, now you started Google and you started seeing Google coming out with really hitting milestones and milestones on its mapping software capabilities, both for businesses as well as for the user interface. And then once you get into 2007 and 2008, that's where Facebook is born. And now you're looking at a whole different way of really engaging with your audience. So we've actually, if you just look at the last decade and you look at the technology shifts, you're going from you're really going at a very rapid speed. I personally am moving towards artificial intelligence now, as well as taking the technology into new areas of how to engage with your audience. So, we are in a political cycle, and I usually look at politics very, very carefully, because politics changes how we do business in the way that they usually use all the new systems that are either in a experimental base or whether they're full blown. You'll see all of those bells and whistles coming out in a political campaign, especially on the presidential. So it's interesting to follow the different routes that both of the candidates are using right now and what are their metrics. And if you've noticed, there's a lot of digital artificial intelligence going on right now.
All right, so let me jump in for a second here. So we're gonna talk about digital marketing. So I know I'm with you on AI being the future, but before we get to that, what are we talking about when we're talking about digital marketing? I mean, is this just anything on the internet? Is it more than that? Is it less than that? What's the rundown there?
The rundown is really anything on the internet and any way that you can engage with the user, the end user on the internet. That is digital. So whether we're working with Google, whether we're on Bing, Microsoft products, whether you're with the social media channels, Snap has been doing really great with the younger generations. And again, this is a very audience, you know, the metrics you have to research who is your audience, which I find business owners, especially when we go through the interviewing process of bringing on a new client, usually everyone says, well, everybody is my audience. That is never a true statement. You really need to know who your audience is, what the age group is, and what your target is, and then come up with a campaign. Because there's so many different channels that you can use, and you can get lost, and you can waste your money in. But it really, in order for you to get a full-blown, measurable, and a great response, you really need to know what it is that you want as a business owner.
No, it makes perfect sense. We always talk about an ideal client or an ideal customer. And so, I mean, that's basically the same, the demographics that you're hitting based upon the different social media platforms.
Yes.
So what, it's interesting, you know, you mentioned politics being kind of at the forefront of this, because from my experience with law, and I think we've also seen it in medicine, COVID really kickstarted those two industries to go digital more, or finish that between the telemedicine and lawyer advertising and whatnot, or court being run through Zoom. So it's interesting to see politics be, so you're looking at politics kind of as the other end of that spectrum, being the beginning of a lot of these things going into the mainstream.
Yes, because if you really look at AI, a lot of AI was used in the 2016 presidential election, and now you're seeing AI being utilized even more. And a lot of businesses that I speak with right now are really not utilizing AI. We're so behind on that. Now, you know, again, you know, a lot of people do feel that with AI, we're violating privacy and all of those things. But the minute you're on the internet, you really, you've let go of all of that. The minute you're on Facebook or Twitter or any of the social media channels, your privacy is out the door. So you really, the argument there, it's the same thing as it was with the social media days, where everyone was fighting social media in the beginning era and the days, and they still are to a certain degree, but it's not going anywhere. That is our new norm. And, you know, America doesn't use WhatsApp as much, but a lot of the international, international countries like in India, they're using WhatsApp. So, you know, again, it just depends on what you're trying to get. But I personally do believe that the future lies with AI. And you can see that a lot of politicians are using it. A lot of the corporate world is using it. And that's really the direction. It's really the direction of interacting with your end user and trying to know what their patterns are. Now, Google does do a pretty good job with that on tracking metrics as well.
Now, so when we're saying AI, I mean, are we talking about creating a program that learns for the purpose of responding as our company? Are we talking about a program that learns to write the right information? Is it all of that and more? I mean, what is it?
It's a lot of it and more. Now, you can see there are some platforms that have been launched recently, and we've been playing around with them with some of our political clients, as well as I've been playing around with it with some of the medical practices. And you'll see that with the AI, it really lets you create a campaign where you're getting a response from the end user versus like a video or you're kind of having an interactive engagement with them on those platforms versus just a standalone ad.
So are we talking like chatbots?
They are like chatbots, yes.
Okay. So what would be some of the most common examples of these being used right now?
We actually studied one very recently with a COVID testing site. And we used a chatbot on that. And it did work because it was like I don't want to go too much into the details of the client, but it was a rapid testing center that, you know, did the rapid test as well as the nasal, and they had a They had a tent set up, and it's on the outskirts. It's not in Orlando, but it's outside Orlando on the outskirts. And we used the chatbot for that on how to, and we were actually able to geofence in that as well on that platform.
And so, that allows people to add, you know, like, these are my symptoms. Yes, you should go get tested. These are the hours. Yeah. This is the weight, those kind of things.
And it was like a 10-minute, you know, you have your results in 10 minutes. Do I have a flu? What do I do with the COVID? And then when we were able to geofence it, then at the same time, we were able to, when somebody was going through that intersection or something, it would pop up.
So when you say geofencing, we're talking about creating a virtual fence that as people go through, they become aware of your product.
They become aware that there is this rapid testing center over there. So initially, when COVID was new, you know, and people didn't really know what and where and all of that, it was really interesting to see how the campaign with very limited funds gave you the response back. You know, if you look at a mailer, because this company had, you know, come to me initially and said, well, let's just throw a mailer out to all of the houses in the area. And a mailer would have costed us, with the whole print and everything, would have costed us 57 cents.
Per piece of mail.
Per piece of mail.
Times thousands of homes.
And again, you wouldn't be able to cover as much, right? And with the impressions on an AI campaign, you're looking at anywhere from 10 cents to 15.
So it'd be about a third to maybe a fifth of the cost. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much more, like, I feel like we as humans, every Pixar movie is us falling in love with something that's not human qualities. So I just feel like you feel almost more indebted to the chatbot than you are to a piece of mail. Like, it's a lot easier to throw that out than it is to, you know, close the window or not finish the conversation.
It is. It's much, much, much easier. And also, you're getting your answers right away. You're not sitting there, okay, so I get this piece of mailer and I'm still just as confused. Like, because if you're thinking about the rapid testing was very new in June, very new. Nobody was doing it. And so if you're looking, I think it was at the end of June. So if you're looking at those dates, you know, you get this mailer, you're like, oh, this is just fake, right? But if you're looking at it on your phone, you're going to be very intrigued and you're going to start, you know, you're going to go into conversations with it really quickly because you're like, wait a minute, what is this? Why haven't I seen this yet?
Well, and I think you allow the user to choose their own adventure to some extent. Like, if you have a million questions, the chatbot will answer them, the AI. And if you're just like, all right, when you open, great, I'm on my way, thanks, then you don't have to worry about the rest of the interaction.
No, you don't. And it's also very cost effective because now you don't have an end user sitting there and answering questions. You know, again, your overhead is low, per impression, you know, price is much low. So, and I mean, it is definitely going to go that direction as we move forward. And I know there's not a lot of, even in the marketing, even in Orlando itself, I know there's not a lot of companies offering it. You know, it's still very new. And it's kind of like when social media first came out, you know, when you look at Facebook. And a lot of people are very scared, right? Like, how do I set my parameters? What do I do? And that's really where AI is right now. And so it's just a matter of time. I say in another year, we're all going to be using it.
Yeah, I remember the age-old discussion among personal injury attorneys. Do you call it a car accident? Do you call it a car crash? Because at some point, you know, Google wasn't smart enough to know that those are the same thing. But now, you know, it learns from the interaction that those things don't matter anymore. And so the more we get there, the easier it is for the AI to know what we're mm-hmm. trying to get at, even if that's not what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. And also in this COVID situation, another thing that, you know, another big constraint that my client had was that you weren't allowed to advertise on Google or Facebook or any of the media channels digitally at the time using COVID, the word COVID. And so we had to, you know, start thinking of other ways. And that's where the mailer just becomes so expensive.
Right.
So, you know, that's why I said it really is opening up a lot of different ways. And you know, again, I think that's where it's all headed. It's all headed. That and with IP, you know, the whole IP tracking, that whole thing is just blown out of proportion right now on IP advertising.
So for that, like, so everything connected to the internet has its own IP address.
Yes, that's correct.
And so you're talking about being able to know a specific, I guess not person, but know a specific computer is on and target it.
Yes, a computer or a phone, actually.
Or, yeah.
No, on a mobile device, you can do it as well. And so we do offer that as well as another service where a lot of companies, a lot of small businesses actually have started using that. We've seen a big push on that. Because again, you can geofence an area with the IP targeting. And again, it works beautifully because you'll see the impressions and you'll see, you know, you can put the exact target information of what you're looking for. You can do banner ads on it. You can do video ads. We find the videos do much better than the banners. Unless it's something like a rapid test, then yeah, you might do okay with it. It just depends again on the campaign. But we've seen that a lot of small businesses are using IP targeting.
And I think you kind of mentioned video as a throwaway, but I think that's such an important thing because now that we've gotten more used to the Zoom and the webinars and all that, I think video has become so much more acceptable or so much more as a substitute for human interaction because we've been stuck with a virtual world for, you know, whatever it is, 3 months now or 7 months now.
Yes. And I do believe that, you know, we've all, earlier we were all very scared. You know, a lot of companies as well, a lot of small businesses, I should say, they were very intimidated with the whole virtual world. And because of this new norm, we've all become so used to it. And this has become our new norm that, you know, instead of meeting people and going through the whole thing, we're having these Zoom meetings and we're in this virtual world. And even as a business, we're trying to find ways of how to do business in this virtual world. So whether you're retail, like you see all of these retail stocks, including makeup, and I like to track everything. So, you know, if you look at Estee Lauder right now, they've taken an entire campaign into IP, virtual, and AI. And I believe they have been extremely successful with it because that just came up on CNBC, I think about 2 months ago. So you can see that this new trend has now become a necessity versus something that, and if you're not moving with this trend, you're going to have a loss of business and revenues. And so that's where I think it's very, very important for everyone to consult and to understand where you can take your business into the virtual world, whether it's something custom you can do, whether it's these platforms that already exist that you can, you know, utilize. And specifically, if you have a end product, right now we're working with a car company and we're looking at a virtual, we're looking at building from scratch a virtual shopping experience. And it's a client from New York. Again, it'll probably take a little bit, you know, it is going to take us longer as we're still in just the design interface part of it right now. But it's going to utilize a lot of the capabilities of something like a Zoom. And you're looking at United States servers on it. And you're going to be able to, once we create one prototype, we'll be able to, you know, launch it into other businesses. But this is something that we are, you know, it's becoming more of a trend right now. You know, we sit in Orlando, which is the convention space. So if we are able to get to that stage, imagine being, you know, doing virtual trade shows.
Right.
Because no, that's where you're going to head.
I mean, I don't want to say joking because it was a legitimate conversation. I was talking to somebody, you know, the biggest issue with the Zoom stuff is you don't really have that chit-chatty networking before and after. Everybody logs in, mm-hmm. You know, there's the one presenter. And so I was imagining something where everybody has like Oculus Rift glasses on and like mm-hmm. a joystick and you could walk around the room and it would figure out your pitch and hear. I mean, it's crazy to think, you know, what we'll be looking forward to in the next 5 or 10 years. You know, hopefully COVID will be over soon enough, but I don't think we're going to get away being more digital.
And that was all technology that we were looking at because, you know, I briefly mentioned that we have these interactive kiosks sitting in the hotels right now. And believe it or not, this is way, these conversations happened way before COVID. They were going on last year with some of the big names in town where they wanted to create a virtual experience, you know, because we are Orlando and we have people traveling from across the world, from Asia and from Europe and from everywhere. And they wanted us to give them an experience. So, you know, if you put on your goggles and you could do an entire virtual of their entire property and get to feel it and touch it and see if this was the room they wanted. And you would be able to go through the process from beginning to end, including booking your room through that process. And now this has become the new norm because, right. You know, this technology could be utilized for anything. It could be looking at, you know, malls. It could go into anything. But at the time, you know, the tourist industry, you know, travel and tourism has been quite advanced in looking for options for that. And specifically because Orlando is a, you know, a world destination, you know, you're looking at people coming from everywhere, where that whole virtual experience, again, is going to be an added module. Again, it'll be for a mid and large size company, most probably not small business, because the costing right now is not, you know, it's just not there.
Right. So the other one that I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, between Alexa, the Google Assistant, Siri, more of the speech-based searching. Is that something you're also looking at seeing become more common?
Speech has become a norm, specifically for, I would say it's the younger generation. The older generation still struggles with it. You know, it's kind of one of those things that you're either used to it or you're not, and it's going to be there in the next generation. However, right now, I do think that it's in the transitional phase on speech, because you still have a lot of the baby boomers that just don't care for any of that. They're still, you know, visual. They're still very visual.
Gotcha. So then let me switch this up slightly. So as a business owner, and obviously as a podcast geared towards business owners, what should we be doing now to position ourselves either utilizing this stuff, learning about it, looking into it? I mean, what's the thing to do now?
So if you're a small business owner, I would hope that you are on every social media channel right now, whether it's Snap, whether it's Facebook, you really Yelp, I mean, all of them, you really should, you're because everything on your IP, on your domain, on your website, make sure everything has backlinks going all over. So that means Facebook, Twitter. The more backlinks you have, the more people that are searching you, the better off you are, right? So Google is your hub, as I like to call it. That's your main dot. So you want to make sure that your back end is connected to, you know, hundreds of different ways of bringing traffic, foot traffic to that website. And that goes for anybody that has a consumer interaction. Again, it's very specific to what kind of business you do. Like somebody like myself, I'm just a boutique person. It's more of people get to know me from word of mouth. We're not really out there trying to do business with the whole world. But if you are somebody that's doing business with a specific clientele, your website really is your main, it really is your main engine. And you want to make sure that it's being fueled from the outside. So social media is big on getting those numbers and those rankings up. Your AI, you know, AI is a great option, again, dependent on your budgets. But after social media, I would go with the IP target marketing. Because it's become the new norm. I see 60% of our portfolio using it right now. But I would like to see more people utilizing it, because you are going to get that. You're definitely get a lot of traffic back into the website again and get those calls going. So for me, those are the two. I know, again, you know, there's different. It really is an interview process with the client to see what their audience is, because those are important factors. Also, what you're doing today, right? We can all start doing that on having Zoom calls, learning, and then those now become blogs in your website, which again, you advertise on your social media channels, and that again gets you that back traffic. So,
that's our hope.
You're doing that right now. So, I'll probably be putting this interview on my website, and then my businesses, the people that I do business with probably want to know what I'm talking about today. So, this is the new norm. This is the new world. You're digitally trying to, bring foot traffic into the door, utilizing the systems that we have in place. So, again, these Zoom interviews are great. AI is great. IP target marketing is great. Social media, absolutely. I would hope that that's just a necessity. If you're not doing it, you'll be out of business, I guarantee, in another year, because you have to be on social media. Whenever I have a client fighting social media, I'm like, don't do it. Even if it's just a basic, even if you don't want to put too much on there, make sure you're on social media. You have to have that engagement.
Of course, the first thing you're going to do, even if my wife tells me to something, I still go on Google to find the reviews and see what it is. And if somebody has no internet presence for their business, I'm so hesitant to go there.
Yeah, no. So those are the basics. And you want to try and stay 5 years advance from where we are today. If you want to be thinking of where you want to be next year and the year after, we can't really be looking at the current situation, because we'll be out of it within the next few months, and then you're looking at something new. So that is my advice. Definitely consult with someone, see what your needs are, and create specific campaigns. I do see a lot of, specifically when we take on new clients, we see a lot of people. I feel that when we've interviewed businesses, we find that a lot of people are lost on who is their audience, what are they trying to achieve, what are they trying to gain as far as revenue. So you want to have a quantitative measure on what your expectations are, and not create false expectations either. So, and I think those, basic questions and interview questions that we have on our back end really help a business, whether you're going to, bring anybody on or not as a client, they'll help you identify what it is that you're looking for.
Makes perfect sense. The more that we do this, let me think of the right word here. It is awesome to me to see people from all different expertise say the same things. And I mean that as a total compliment, so many of us keep talking about that ideal client, having the metrics, having the demographics, going after them instead of just wasting money at everything. And I keep going back to, and there are business owners that still don't listen to, the dozens of people we've had on this show and the millions of people around the world saying the same stuff, because it works.
Yeah, and it's usually the person that doesn't know who that audience is that will fail. And that goes for politics as well, because I had mentioned to you that I ran a campaign just recently. I just come off of it in the primaries, and I had learned so much from it. It's identifying, and when you're running for a first time in office, you really don't even know who your audience is, right? And I look at that as a new business, right? You really don't know who your audience is until you do a product launch and you do a test and you see who you're engaging with and who's really relating to you. So all of that, whether it's politics, whether it's legal, whether it's medicine, it kind of is the same. You're going through the same thing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. So it's just that's the beauty of marketing, is you're trying to, everybody's trying to get the truly amazing things about themselves or their business to as many people as possible. Yes. Or to as many of the right people as possible.
Yes.
All right, so if somebody is listening to this for the last 40 minutes, takes nothing away except one thing, what is that biggest, most important thing that you want to make sure as many business owners as possible know?
Again, make sure that you ran a traffic study on your website, because that's the first thing I would do. I would run a traffic study on who and what and who's coming onto your website. And if those numbers look horrible, then that's really where you need to start from. You really need to look at your metrics of your website.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, you have to treat that website as your storefront. I mean, that's where most people are gonna take a shot at looking at you. No matter what you do, usually go to the website first, even if you have a storefront, even if you have a brick and mortar.
So yeah, that I think, to me, that's the number one thing that you have to be really, really looking at. You have to be looking at your numbers on the website, because if you, you know, that's your 101. You have to see what your numbers are, what your metrics are, what are your backlinks, where are the people coming from. And then based off of the metrics on the website, do you want to start working on campaigns after that? You want to create campaigns based on what that study reveals.
Makes perfect sense.
That's usually where we start. You know, again, we would do a survey with you. We'd see where the business is. We'd study it. And then right after that, we would, you know, look. We would look at your website, because that's where it all starts, you know, and we want to make sure that if you aren't getting the traffic, why is it? Why is your ranking on Google so low, or why is it so low on Bing? You know, you don't want to be like, you know, you don't want, again,
if you're on the first page, you're unfindable.
You don't want to be unfindable. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah. All right. So
that's what this does too. Our Zoom interview, backlinking it to your website, me, you know, mentioning it on Facebook, hey, I was with Jordan Law today, right? So all of that starts with an organic, it creates an organic lead on your ranking. And every business should be doing that. And that, you know, the fact that you're doing this, this is actually right there. This is something that I would be saying. These are the things that organically, because Google, a lot of people like to just do paid advertising on Google. That doesn't increment your ranking.
And in fact, the opposite. Your website having a better experience could actually make you have to pay less, or if people are, you know, enjoying your website.
Exactly. And so to me, that would be the biggest thing if any small business, and I know this seems like foreign language to most, it does when we're speaking, but you really, you know, whether you're a restaurant owner, whether whatever it is, because I do come across a lot of mom and pop restaurants, right? And you will see that they have a very ugly, I hate saying ugly, but a very basic website. It's not very colorful. It doesn't have anything. But yet, when you look at Google, their ranking is right there. So it's really not the beauty of the website. And that's what I always tell a client. You can have this beautiful Lamborghini of a website sitting there, but the engine doesn't work.
Yep.
So you constantly have to fuel that engine with social media, with what you're doing, with all kinds of links coming right back in it. So please concentrate on that website if you're looking to be found.
All right. So with that, we've got itouchorlando.com on here. Any other contact information you want us to have so people can stay in touch with you?
Yeah. So my email address is actually angelie@mythays.com. And I'll be more than happy for anyone that wants to contact me on my cell phone as well. It's 301-221-8428. For anybody that, you know, has any questions, I'm always glad to answer them. And any way I can help, because that's what it's all about.
Can we do that one more time slower? I saw Mark's head about exploding as he was trying to get that into the comments here.
My cell phone is 301-221-8428. And it's Angelie, it's A-N-J-A-L-I at M for Mary, YTEZZ.com.
Got that, Mark? All right. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
You've been listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast and would consider sharing the show. We would also love an honest 5-star review through iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcatcher you use. If you are interested in being a guest of the podcast, please contact producer Mark through email at mark@jordanlawfl.com. Use the subject line podcast guest in your email. Thank you. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.